Today marks the start of LGBTQ Pride Month, with events happening locally all month long. That includes a variety of pride flags up and down Franklin Street, chosen by residents this year in a community survey conducted by the Downtown Partnership. Here's Communications Director Stephanie Colbert.
We think it's important because we want to create a downtown that is, you know, not only vibrant and thriving, but also inclusive and welcoming for the community. This is a heavily traveled stretch. It is kind of the heart of Chapel Hill, and we wanted to make sure that our community felt represented properly. And, you know, we felt the best way to do that was to ask them directly. The flags will hang from Henderson Street through the 140 West Plaza. Our collection is by no means complete. We need to add to it as the years go on and our budget allows, to hopefully hang flags all over downtown, so not just on Franklin Street, but Rosemary and our side streets.
You can get more on the Pride Flag Survey on our website, chapelborough.com. Survey inspired by controversy last year when the town hung up a bunch of different Pride flags, but missed the lesbian flag, as some residents pointed out. First big Pride event in Chapel Hill is going to be this Saturday's Promenade, a march from Peace and Justice Plaza down to 140 West, beginning at 2 p.m. It's also budget season in local government as town and county officials crunch the numbers for next fiscal year. Utility companies are going through that same process, and recently officials with the Orange Water and Sewer Authority, OWASA, proposed a 9% increase in water and sewer rates for the coming year. Finance and Customer Service Director Stephen Winters says the rate hike is needed for several reasons, some of them unexpected.
Inflation and supply chain issues are impacting the cost of construction as well as the supplies we need to treat water and wastewater. Unemployment is low, which is a great thing, but that puts pressure on the labor market, and it's increased our personnel costs, you know, the cost of keeping and recruiting a highly talented workforce. And then there's been a kind of a last-minute development. The Environmental Protection Agency recently issued new regulations regarding what are referred to as PFAS compounds in drinking waters, forever chemicals. And the new EPA's regulations essentially require us and all water utilities to remove all PFAS compounds from drinking water. And that was something that wasn't predicted. For us at OWASA, this means investing an estimated $50 million in our drinking water facility, treatment facility, over the next 5 years. And again, you know, that's not something we expected a year ago. And then one last point, this is kind of a good news, you know, not so good news situation. The community is using today about the same amount of water it used 30 years ago. And that's even though the number of customers has grown by 80%. That's an incredible water conservation success story. The not so good side of that is that sales volume isn't increasing. So the only way to grow revenue is by increasing the rates we charge for services. And, you know, since our costs go up each year, it's a constant challenge to bring enough money in to meet our needs while keeping services affordable.
And Stephen Winters there. The OWASA Board of Directors is set to vote on their budget next Thursday, June 8th, but you still have time to weigh in with your thoughts. Visit OWASA.org for more info. In Raleigh, state lawmakers are moving this week on several bills, including one that would legalize sports gambling in North Carolina. That one's set to pass the Senate today. That bill is passing with bipartisan support, but other bills are advancing over Democratic objections. Yesterday, the state House approved a bill that would ban certain discussions around racial topics and employee training for state government offices, as well as UNC and community colleges. And the House also approved a bill that would shift appointment power from the governor's office to the state legislature, also over Democratic objections. The House and Senate have competing versions of all three of those bills. They'll need to work out differences before getting a final version approved. Now back to Chapel Hill, where the future of the town's property off Legion Road has been the subject of much debate and discussion, some of it revolving around a 3-acre pond on the property that some residents are fond of. But town engineers now say the pond in its current state will have to be drained over safety and infrastructure concerns. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more.
In December, the Chapel Hill Town Council voted to retain ownership of all 36 acres of the property it bought from the American Legion. The council and town's goals are to build about 9 acres of affordable housing along Legion Road while turning the rest of the site into a, quote, world-class park. While the town is still in its initial stages of visioning for both of those components, determining the future of the pond, which is between Legion Road and the old American Legion building, is a top priority. Chapel Hill hired the Raleigh-based engineers Garrett and Moore to examine the pond and its dam, and the team presented information during a council work session on May 17th. Bernie Garrett with the consulting group said the man-made water feature is now regulated under state laws, but that it needs serious upgrades.
Based on the classification criteria, the dam is classified as a high hazard, primarily because it would cause economic damage of more than $200,000 if there were a dam failure.
Garrett said that the tree growth along the dam could create a problem if one fell over and ripped up the ground. The overly steep slopes and erosion at an outlet pipe also indicate the need for change. To bring the dam up to compliance with state laws, the engineer said Chapel Hill has only two options: repair the dam or remove it entirely. Either of those options includes draining the pond to seek out its water source, as well as breaching the dam and removing the trees from around it.
We'd really have to see what it looked like before the pond was built. So there is some springhead, probably within the limits of the water surface, that is feeding it on a fairly regular basis. The question is, you know, where does that springhead emerge within the pond itself?
As it was a work session, town council members did not vote whether to remove or repair the dam. But Garrett told them either option would also take about 2 years to do between permitting, potential construction, and seeing how the water source responds to any removal. The town council did express general interest in beginning the necessary steps for creating a vision of the park and affordable housing neighborhood. In its consent agenda on May 24th, the elected officials approved a request from town staff to begin seeking a partner for the housing component. During the May 17th work session, Councilmember Amy Ryan said she wants to ensure the studies of the pond fit with the development of the park and housing concepts, describing it as a, quote, balancing act.
This is going to be a dance between making sure we understand the hydrology, because then we'll understand what our options are for how we're developing. And it's also trying to make sure that we're coordinating with the park. I think we have a really, really good opportunity here to do, again, another complete communities development, you know, instead of lopping off the affordable housing, and that's one piece, and then we have a park, and that's another piece. I think we can create a really exceptional housing opportunity here.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger asked the engineering team to explore any estimated costs of the town reducing the pond's size, although the true size itself wouldn't be known until the pond's water source is identified. Heminger also requested the engineers explore the best time of the year for draining the pond. She said that would be important for town events scheduled at the Legion Road property, as well as the wildlife in the pond and based on the local weather patterns.
I know during the later summer months, we have more drought conditions normally, not always. In September, we tend to get the hurricane season with lots more rain. So there's got to be some kind of balance between wildlife and not flooding out the neighbors by doing the draining, which I know you would do it slowly. I don't think you'd just open it up and bulldoze through.
Following their presentation and council comments, no date was determined for Garrett and Moore to return to the town council with further updates from Legion Pond. You can find a link to the presentation as well as more details on the Legion Road Development Project by heading to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Time is 6:19 here on 97.9 The Hill. Hey, if you want to weigh in on next year's county budget, Orange County commissioners are holding a public hearing and work session on the budget tonight at 7 p.m. in the Witted Building in Hillsborough. County Manager Bonnie Hammersley will present her budget proposal. That'll be followed by a public comment period and a board discussion. Get more details online at orangecountync.gov. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Coldwell Banker, Howard Perry, and Walston. As the spring season begins to wind down, individual honors are coming in for Tar Heel athletes. Congrats to UNC men's golfer David Ford, who led Carolina to the NCAA semifinals. He just earned first-team All-America honors from the Golf Coaches Association of America. Ford also won ACC Player of the Year honors this year, just a year after winning ACC Freshman of the Year. He's the first player to do that since Brooks Koepka did it back back in 2011 when he was still just a college student. Good company to be in. Looking ahead to the fall, we've got the start times for UNC's first three football games. Tar Heels will open their season Saturday, September 2nd against South Carolina in Charlotte. Kickoff time there is set for 7:30 p.m. ABC will be bringing it on TV. Then on Saturday the 9th, they'll host App State at 5:15, followed by a 3:30 game on Saturday the 16th at home against Minnesota. You can get the full schedule online at GoHeels.com. And in baseball, a stellar pitching performance yesterday for the Durham Bulls as they swept a doubleheader against Jacksonville, winning Game 1 3-0 and Game 2 5-2 in extra innings. The Bulls held the Jumbo Shrimp to 2 runs and just 3 hits combined in those two games. That series resumes tonight at 6:30, and tonight will be Pride Night at the D-Bat.